Good afternoon and welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. My name is Chris Albert. I am your host and the owner of Warrior Soul Apparel. First things first, if you hear a little bit of barking behind me, it's because people have just decided to clean my gutters and my dog doesn't like that very much. Second, I'm just getting over the flu, so I'm going to try not to cough. I'm going to try not to hack up a loogie. I'm going to try not to snort. And I'm going to try to get through this podcast without any major issues. I wanted to get this episode out, though, because I am fresh back from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where I got to witness the 2016 Olympics, and it was an absolutely amazing experience. Today's episode is going to be giving you some lessons from that experience that I had down there, just some things that I learned that I took away with me. And also, today's episode is going to be about fitness and nutrition, and specifically fitness on the go, fitness when you don't have a whole lot of time to be taking care of yourself. Because one of the things I think that we as veterans have to realize is that we spent our youth literally kind of tearing our bodies apart. If you served in the infantry, or if you served in the field, or even if you served aboard ship, or in any capacity where your sleep was limited, where you were around different types of things, that stuff catches up with you, and it even catches up with you after you get out. And so this episode and one of the next episodes, I'm going to be bringing fitness expert Ben Greenfield on to talk about different types of measures we can take to protect ourselves for those who are still active in the military and for those of us who've gotten out who want to avoid some of the health problems that could be hanging around the corner because of some of the things we did in our youth. And some of those things had to do with actual military service, like being out in the field and dealing with things like rifle cleaning fluid being on your hands when you were eating, or, doing some of the other things that, you know, we tended to do back in the day, like maybe drink a little bit more than we should, or, smoke a lot of cigarettes or dip a lot of Copenhagen. Some of you might still be doing that, and we'll talk about that as well. But this episode, I really want to focus on the Olympics. I want to focus on the travel to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and I want to give you some of the lessons I've learned from that, and I also want to talk a little bit about fitness and nutrition and some of the things that I did while I was on the go, because these can translate to things that you can do when you're hard-pressed for time to help preserve your body, but also to help you with things like fat loss, to help you to build some muscle, to help you to get back in shape. So first things first, I was really lucky to head down to the 2016 Olympics, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. My girlfriend got me the trip as a gift, and I have to tell you, and I have to be honest with you guys, at first I didn't want to go. Now, I know Brazil has been going through a whole lot of negative press lately. Excuse me, needing a sip of my coffee. I know Brazil has been going through a lot of negative press lately. I know that we've been dealing with a lot of different types of things going on as far as the security issues down there, as far as, you know, issues with the sewage, issues with the plumbing and things like that. But that's not why I didn't want to go. And I wanted to be honest with you about this because it pertains to kind of the spirit of this podcast. You know, I'm always telling you guys to forget about fear, to overcome fear. I'm telling you that fear is a liar. Well, the reason why I didn't want to go was because of some of my own fear, a fear that if I'm not here working 15 hours a day in front of my computer, producing designs, getting things out there, getting content out there, getting podcast episodes out there, that things are just going to fall apart. And, my girlfriend really put her foot down and she was like, dude, if you're going to come down there, you're going to have a good time. And you're not going to do work. You're not going to be in front of your computer 24/7. You're going to actually come out. You're going to experience Rio de Janeiro. You're going to experience the Olympic Games. And I'm thankful that she made me do that. But the big thing I want to convey to you is that while I tell you all this stuff, and I'm sitting here, I'm Mr. Overcome Your Fear, put fear to the side, get rid of it, I understand something now from this trip, and that is that it is really hard to do that, and it is really hard to put some of those fears aside. I've always dreamed about going to an Olympic Games, and I've always wanted to go to Brazil, and I nearly put a once in a lifetime opportunity on the back burner so that I could work more. And when I think about that, when I think about the possibility that I really thought about not going, that is something that bothers me, and is something within myself that bothers me, and that tells me that there's certain things that I do that, although they might seem like kind of hardcore, where I wake up at 4 a.m. every morning, I get my coffee ready, I come in here and I write, I start work. Some of that might be attached to a certain level of comfort. And comfort, no matter where it is, if you're, I tell you to get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's led to a lot of my success. But in some ways, sometimes you got to shake up that routine. Sometimes you got to really look at yourself and say, what's holding me back right now? Maybe my tendency to come in here and grind my ass off in the office and not get out to see the outside world, maybe that's holding me back a little bit. So what I want to pose to all of you, as one of the lessons you can take from this, is what fears are holding you back right now? What things in your head, what false assumptions in your head right now are holding you back? Because I can tell you what my false assumptions were. My false assumptions were that if I'm not posting social media every couple hours, if I am not producing content, if I'm not sitting here trying to figure out ways to grow this business, my false assumption was that this business would fall apart. And the reality was that I had to trust the people I work with. I had to trust the Marines who work with me up in Santa Barbara to produce these t-shirts. I had to trust my brother Andrew, who runs my advertising. I had to trust the people who work with me that they were going to help carry the ship and that they were going to navigate it just fine without me. And so my false assumption was that if I go away, everything's going to fall apart. Now, I'm not saying that that means I need to sit back on my butt and take things easy and not work and not be a leader, because I needed to convey my vision to them before I left. But at the same time, if you have to be there 100% of the time, and you have to be there dictating what goes what goes where at all the time, then that means that there's something wrong with your leadership ability. And that means that there's something that I have to practice so that I'm confident enough and competent enough as a leader to let my business in the hands of the people who work with me and work for me, and leave it here for a little bit and allow those people to do their jobs. So for you guys, I want you to think about what false assumptions you have in your life that are holding you back. What things that aren't necessarily true, that you believe to be true, that could be holding you back. And these could be fears of different types of things. It could be a fear that, a fear of breaking out of your routine. It could be a fear of, not being able to see your favorite TV show. It could be a fear, like me, that if you put your business down for a little bit, it's going to fall apart. Or it could be a fear that if you try something new, things are just going to fall apart. You could have a fear of trying new things. There could also be the fear of pain, the fear of not having enough time for your family if you start a new workout routine, a fear that you're gonna feel like crap if you start that new diet to lose weight, a fear that if you start a new business it's gonna be too much work for you. Whatever that fear is, and some of the fears I'm talking about could be complete BS, or it could be something that you're actually experiencing right now. But think about what that false assumption is that's holding you back, and try to figure out a way to identify it. One, identify what that false assumption is, and two, figure out why it's false. Why is it false? For me, my false assumption that the business was going to fall apart was false because the business doesn't require me to be here at my computer all the time. And that's why that assumption is false. But you need to figure out why your assumption is false. Why is it a false assumption? Why do you have that false assumption in the first place? And part of the reasons why I had my false assumption in the first place was because, I have this feeling that I have to be needed. I have to be going through some sort of pain, some sort of work in order for my business to be successful. And if I'm not doing that, I feel like, you know, the business is falling off course. If I don't have enough to do, if I'm not constantly working on something, I feel like the business is falling apart. And that's a false claim. That's a false assumption. And the reality is that if I'm not handling all these menial tasks a lot of the time, like answering emails constantly or working on social media constantly, maybe I could be expanding this business a little bit more. Maybe I could be expanding Warrior Soul Apparel a little bit more. Maybe I could be handling a lot of those t-shirt requests that I'm getting from people all over the place, from our Army brothers and from our Navy brothers, and creating more Marine Corps shirts. And these are all things that I need to work out. And basically, I need to sit down with a piece of paper, figure out what assumptions I'm having right now are false, figure out why I'm having those false assumptions, and then figuring out solutions for overcoming them. And sorry for beating that dead horse there, but I really think that this is a crux of something that holds so many people back, and it's definitely something that's been holding me back for quite a while. The other thing I want to talk about was being in Rio itself. You know, like I said, Rio got a lot of negative press leading up to the Olympics and even during the Olympics. And I have to say, being down there was absolutely amazing. They did a really great job in hosting these Olympic Games. Never once did I not feel safe. There was Brazilian military probably every 200 meters. Now, I also realized that when I'm not there and when the Olympics aren't going on, it might be a very different city. But from what I saw, everything looked very secure. The city was actually pretty clean. You know, I've been to a lot of cities around the world. I've been to a lot of places around the world, including the Middle East and different places where I was walking through raw sewage. And the fact that there were some open sewers there didn't bother me so much. But there are certain things that, while I was there, reminded me that I'm very thankful to be from the United States. You know, little things like Wi-Fi. You know, I think that's something we've actually come to take for granted here in the U.S. It was really hard to get Wi-Fi in different places down there. And I know there's internet cafes, and I know it's got to be easier than I think it is. Maybe I was just a dumb foreigner, but I couldn't hook into the internet anywhere, which was probably a good thing because that kept me from getting into work and get my girlfriend pissed off at me and sticking my face in my phone and actually experiencing Brazil in the present. But the only place I was able to get Wi-Fi was in the apartment that we were staying in. We stayed there with on an Airbnb, and what I would do is I would do Insta snaps all day long, and you know they would be in my phone, but they wouldn't load into Instagram. And then when I got back to Wi-Fi, I would load them up to my story so that people could see what was going on at the Olympics. I really wanted people who'd never seen Rio to be able to see that place and to be able to see the Olympics and to be able to see some of the events we went to. But it was, when I think about it, if back when I was homeless, back when I was living out of my car, back when I had absolutely nothing and I was just starting out my businesses, if I wasn't able to walk into any coffee shop or any Starbucks and sit there and do work with their Wi-Fi for free, I don't think I'd be where I am today. I know that sounds like such a little stupid petty thing. I still think I would have been successful. I would have found a way. But it wouldn't have been so easy to start up an internet business. It wouldn't have been so easy to start up my online training business. And it wouldn't have been so easy to start up Warrior Soul Apparel. I'm very thankful that places like Starbucks exist. I know a lot of people hate Starbucks. I know a lot of people hate these kind of hipster coffee shops that have the free Wi-Fi. But I'm so thankful for them. You know, I'm very thankful for the fact that we have public libraries with free Wi-Fi service that allowed me to come in and do my work there, to get myself back on my feet and get myself out of my car, living in my car and into the rented room that I eventually got where I launched this business from. If I didn't have that, and things would have been a lot different. The other thing is little things that we take for granted here, like plumbing that works all the time, or being able to put toilet paper into the toilet. It's kind of gross, but in a lot of countries you can't put toilet paper into the toilet. You've got to put it in a trash can that they have next to the toilet. It brings me back to my Marine Corps days, going to the bathroom in the ditch, using MRE toilet paper to wipe myself, things like that. I don't want to bring up bad memories for all of you or get too gross here, but maybe I've become a nasty civilian, and but I kind of like using a toilet now, and I kind of like being able to put my toilet paper into the toilet, so to speak. And they don't have that there. The other thing is there's zero water pressure and things like that. And again, that's me being a soft American, being a soft, privileged, person who needs my powerful shower, needs my powerful toilet, in order to survive. And maybe, like I said, maybe I've been out of the Corps too long, and some of my old infantry friends would probably come in and bash my head about now. But just little things that I think we all take for granted here in the U.S. Things like social mobility. When we're traveling around Rio de Janeiro, you see the favelas. And you see the state of the buildings, the holes in the roofs, the holes in the walls. You see bullet holes everywhere and things like that. Not that I went too deep into the favelas, but we took a lot of public transportation, and on the buses and on the trains, you can see into them. And a lot of people just don't have the means that we have here. And I think that even, like I said, I was lucky to be homeless in the United States, in Southern California. I don't think that I could have had a better place to be homeless in my life, or in the world. I was lucky for that. And I just have so many blessings in my life that I've gotten from being American, from being from this country, that I'm so thankful for. And having been around the world with the Marine Corps, having been to Iraq and to some of these other places, that don't have all the conveniences. I was already appreciative of this, but I needed, I think, to be reminded of a lot of the privileges we have here. And I'm very thankful for those, and I'm very thankful again to be from the United States. That being said, Brazil was a pretty freaking awesome place. It's absolutely gorgeous. We did some hikes through Parque Lage in Rio de Janeiro, which is kind of the world's largest urban forest, is right below that Christ the Redeemer statue. Went around there. I didn't see one mosquito, so I don't think I have Zika. I'm gonna go get tested for it in a week when I go for my physical at the VA. But I didn't see one mosquito down there. The beach, Copacabana Beach, was absolutely amazing. I don't drink, but if you drank, you could get a Caipirinha down there. And it was actually really inexpensive. It was about the Brazilian real was about 32 cents to the dollar. And so we're getting food there really inexpensively. We're getting like a full steak dinner for two people for $20, which was absolutely amazing. I mean, here in Southern California, you get that for maybe $60. So that was a really great experience. And it was just, like I said, great being around the Olympics, seeing those athletes, seeing them compete at the highest level. One of the other lessons I realized from watching the Olympics is, I've coached a lot of different types of athletes in my life. I had a pretty good career as a personal trainer. I've coached some high-level elite athletes, but I've never seen them all competing in one place at the same time at such a level. And I have to say that you really don't see somebody push themselves unless they're in that kind of company. So one of the lessons that I'm taking away from the Olympics is that we all really need to keep good company around us that's going to push us all the time. You're not working up to your optimal potential unless you're around people who are going to push you, who are going to get you to push yourself to your limit, or going to get you to push yourself beyond that point of exertion to achieve at the highest level. It's just not going to happen. So really think about the people who you're hanging around with. You know, they say you're the average of the five people you hang around with the most. And for me, over the last few months, I've been pretty isolated, you know. So maybe I'm the average of my dog, my girlfriend, and a couple of my neighbors. But what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to do what a lot of you are doing right now. I've been trying to listen to podcasts. I'm a big fan of the Jocko podcast. You know, I think it's a podcast that all veterans should listen to, because Jocko really brings some amazing insights into how we can all live our best lives. You know, his handle on books, his handle on literature, his handle on the lessons that we've learned from serving in the military and serving in combat, and applying those to life, that is an absolutely amazing talent that he has to translate that into ideas for leadership and ideas for the way that we should be living our civilian lives. There is no better podcast in my mind than Jocko and Jocko Willink. And his book, Extreme Ownership, has been absolutely amazing. So, you know, if you can't be around people who are going to push you, then at least you can listen to people who are going to push you. You know, Jocko's a great one. Fitness-wise, my favorite podcast is Ben Greenfield. And again, Ben's going to be a guest on this show coming up the next episode. And the cool part about Ben is, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for a lot of the way the fitness industry has gone lately. The bodybuilding industry, which I was once a part of, really, I think the knowledge base in there about health and fitness is 10 years from now, we're going to look back on it. We're going to be like, dude, we were back in the Stone Ages. A lot of the knowledge that's being put out there, I think, at best, is going to keep people just doing the same thing over and over again. And at worst, is going to really hurt people's health and really hurt people's well-being. And the reason I say this is because I practiced a lot of this myself in the past. You know, I, as a trainer and as a nutrition coach, I experimented with almost every nutrition protocol I could find. And I've experimented with almost everything I could find when I was a bodybuilder. And I'll admit free and fully that that included performance enhancing drugs. Just because I wanted to grasp on this stuff. If I was going to coach professional bodybuilders, if I was going to coach professional athletes who are going to be using these things, then I wanted to know what they did. I wanted to know what those diets did. I wanted to know what each supplement did. And I read everything I could. I took a lot of different classes, a lot of certifications. And, you know, one of the things I realized when I started to look at the popular fitness material that was out there on YouTube and on Instagram is that so much of this industry doesn't know what it's talking about. So much of this industry is leading people down the wrong path, the path toward unhealthy lifestyles, the path toward unhealthy eating habits, and a path toward, I think, a lot of psychological issues. Because when I ran my fitness YouTube channel, I would get so many messages from guys who were so depressed because they couldn't get the body they wanted. And, you know, we used to think about women having self-image issues, women having body issues. And I see it more often now in men. Men who are depressed about how they look, men who are depressed about what their bodies look like, what they're able to do. And, you know, the way I think about things, I think that if you're in a place where you don't want to be right now, as long as you're putting the effort into work on it, as long as you're putting the effort into to push forward to make yourself better, then that's a victory, and you have to pat yourself on the back for that. I think that's an amazing thing. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting off the subject here, but I think that as long as we keep pushing ourselves and keep trying to get the best knowledge possible about what fitness truly is and about what is going to be good for us and what is not going to be good for us. I think that that's a huge thing. And so the reason why I recommend Ben Greenfield is because he's one of the only real popular trainers I see out there who actually cites scientific knowledge, who cites the actual articles in his blogs. And no, he's not a bodybuilder. He comes from a very different field paradigm than I do. He was a triathlete, and now he's an OCR, obstacle course racing runner. But his knowledge about fitness, his knowledge about nutrition is so detailed and so elegant that he's able to take a lot of these complex things that people don't understand and break them down for people. And that's one of the reasons why I love his podcast so much. Read as much as possible. The current book I'm reading right now is Seeing What Others Don't, The Remarkable Ways We Gain Insights, and that's by Gary Klein. And basically what that book talks about is what we were talking about at the beginning, trying to get around those false psychological barriers that we put up to ourselves to see things in a different way, to gain new insights about what can bring you closer to what you want to accomplish and to what you want to do. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes for this episode. I'm also reading The Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. And maybe I'll do a review on these books in a couple of episodes. Musashi's book, Musashi was an ancient Japanese swordsman. And his book mainly talks about the strategy of fighting with swords, fighting with two swords. I'm just breaking into that one. That was by recommendation by someone from Instagram. So I thank you for that. Beyond that, I'm back home now just trying to get myself back into shape and trying to recover from that trip. Now, some solid things that you can do fitness-wise to really kind of push yourself to the next level, but that aren't necessarily going to cause a huge dent in your lifestyle and a huge overhaul of what you're currently doing. You know, one of the biggest things that I've realized about nutrition and fitness over the last few years is that in many ways, there are certain foods that if I eat them at certain times, they will completely take away from my energy. Now, a lot of people think of carbohydrates as something that builds energy, something that gives you energy. And if you read any nutrition book, that's what they're going to say. If you want energy, eat a bunch of carbohydrates. So over the years, what I've seen a lot of people do is they'll have these really carb-heavy breakfasts, like tons of oatmeal, tons of cream of rice, toast, like four or five slices of toast. And they'll load protein on there, like tons of scrambled eggs. At one point when I was coming up in bodybuilding or powerlifting, I was eating like 10 to 12 eggs a day, along with 4 to 5 pieces of toast and some oatmeal for breakfast. And, I think back to it and I would get so sleepy and lethargic by 11 a.m., 12 noon. I really couldn't even think. I couldn't do my schoolwork. Back when I was in the Marine Corps, I would try to load up on stuff on at the chow hall. And I remember sitting in classes after eating breakfast when we were back in the rear, and just falling asleep, doing everything I could do to stay awake. Loading up dip and taking every cigarette break I could and trying to, sip on water as much as I could to stay awake, but I couldn't do it. My brain just really wasn't working. And what I've discovered through my studies since I've gotten into nutrition coaching, since I started training people, is that in a lot of ways, the insulin production that occurs when you eat a breakfast like that really makes us inefficient at creating energy. It takes away from our brain power. Because what happens is, you know, insulin gets secreted. It takes a lot of that sugar that's running through your bloodstream. You know, and what you have to remember is that insulin gets secreted when we eat carbohydrates, but it also gets secreted when we eat protein. And it takes a lot of those sugars and it shuttles them directly either to our fat cells or to our muscle cells. If we're lucky, it gets shuttled to our muscle cells or our fat or our liver cells. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to go to your fat cells. If you've been overeating carbohydrates and you ate a huge breakfast and you haven't expended a lot of energy, it's going to go straight to your fat cells. Where it's not going to go is it's going to immediately take the sugar away from your brain. And you're not going to be burning fuel for your brain on a regular basis. All of a sudden, it's going to dip. So one of the things I've been doing for the last few years is I've been either fasting for breakfast or I eat nothing but fat. I'll have some coconut oil or some MCT oil with my coffee. And, you know, I really won't eat anything till about 1300, 1400 in the afternoon. And when I do eat, I'll have like a salad. And I might have a little bit of protein with that salad. But I also have a lot of olive oil and some nuts and some good fats with it. And that's what gives me energy. I'm a fat-adapted person. Now, I don't want you to do this right off the bat. If you listen to this, I want you to read a book. And the book is called The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Performance. And that's by Volek and Finney. V-O-L-E-K and P-H-I-N-N-E-Y. And that book is something that changed my really changed my perspective on how to eat, because it really demonstrates how using fat as energy can be as an energy source can be a much more efficient way of allowing your body to work. And when I switched to this method of dieting, rather than, you know, it used to be when I was doing like a plain old bodybuilding diet, when I was just eating, I would get really fat during certain periods, and then I would have to lean out. I would have to cut up. You know, with this method of dieting, I'm lean all the time. I'm ready to go all the time, and I always have energy. I don't need to eat in order to have energy. We think about bodybuilders, you know, a lot of bodybuilders like to think of themselves as like super evolved people who have these superior genetics. Well, think about it like this. If we're in the middle of a zombie apocalypse or shit hits the fan, do you really want to be around somebody who has to eat every 2 hours in order to keep their energy up to fight zombies? I really wouldn't, you know, I'd rather be around somebody who needed to eat like once or twice a day. And so while I'm not huge, while I'm not friggin' hulking, I don't want to be that big. I want to be freaking functional. I want to be able to fight off zombies if I need to. I want to be able to fight off anything that comes at me. I want to be able to move. I want to have energy, and I want that energy to be steady throughout the day. Because, you know, my work as an entrepreneur, I am constantly working. I'm constantly trying to think. I'm constantly trying to think up new things. I don't want to have to stop and eat every 2 hours. And so one of the things I'm going to be talking about with Ben Greenfield is different ways that people who are currently active duty might be able to hack their nutrition in order to get more sustained energy. Because when you're out in the field and you got to stop and pull out your MREs and eat pound cake all the time, and you're hungry and you're kind of fluctuating your blood sugar all the time, that's really not good. And not only that, I mean, it could lead to different types of health issues down the line. You know, there's a lot of stuff we do in the military that's not necessarily healthy. And when you're out in the field, you are constantly tearing at your body. You know, those 20-mile humps, they can wreck your knees, they can wreck your joints. And if your level of total body chronic inflammation is higher from the food you're eating, which is quite possible from the MREs and the amount of sugar that's in them, that could lead to prolonged recovery from injuries. It could lead to a lot of aches and pains down the line. It could lead to heart disease down the line. And so that's stuff we all need to be concerned about. I don't know how many guys I've seen, at least from the infantry, who today have back problems, today have joint problems. And I think a lot of this stuff could be avoided just by better nutrition. Now, that being said, I realize that a lot of this is uncontrollable for you because you're given MREs. But what I want to get into is different things you could take with you to supplement those MREs that might inhibit a lot of those effects, that might take a lot of those lessen the impact of a lot of those effects. Another thing that we were talking about a couple of episodes ago with Andrew Marr is the fact that inflammation can really affect your brain. And anything that affects your brain can affect your hormonal processes. So a lot of the things we're seeing, like depression, like the symptoms of PTS, like prolonged symptoms of traumatic brain injury, I think they can also be lessened or actually avoided through better nutrition before a brain injury happens, before a traumatic event happens. And if we're getting better nutrition into our bodies, or even getting better nutrition into our bodies after service, I think we could take a lot of those symptoms away. So one of the things I'm trying to do with this podcast, and with everything we do here at Warrior Soul Apparel, is to encourage you all to live better lives, to encourage you all to live your best life. And I think that a lot of that's achievable through nutrition. Now, what I said before about being fat adapted, that's not necessarily with for everybody. Not everybody can be on what's called a ketogenic diet, but we can all avoid a lot of sugar. We can all avoid a lot of the preservatives that from processed foods that we eat. We can all avoid inflammatory foods, and we can all eat more anti-inflammatory foods that are going to help us feel better, going to help us think better, going to help us have sex better, and going to help us perform better, and just live better, more optimal lives. And that's something I want to encourage for all of you. One of the things for me while I was in Brazil was I fasted a lot. I didn't eat anything in the mornings. I only ate toward the evenings. And the reason why I did that was because a lot of the food down there was like cheese bread and a lot of French fries and things like that. And I didn't want to put that into my body earlier in the day so I would have a huge insulin spike and then not have enough energy to get through the games, fall asleep in the stands and things like that. So I brought a bottle of MCT oil with me. That's medium chain triglyceride oil, which is a derivative of coconut oil. I put that into my coffee. I brought my own coffee down there because all they drink down there is instant coffee crap from one of those Nespresso machines. And I did that, and then in the evening I would have a big meal with some beef, and the beef act down there was actually really good, really tasty, and hit the stomach really well. And then since I've been back, I'm actually doing a 3-day fast right now. All I'm drinking is coffee and green juice, along with some MCT oil and grass-fed butter. And that is mainly to keep my digestive system back on track. As I've told you all before, I suffer from something called ulcerative colitis, which is an autoimmune disease. And that can really wreak havoc on me. And one of the things I do to manage it is I go on fast from time to time. But I hope this discussion on nutrition wasn't boring for you. I hope I wasn't going too far off the reservation for all of you. I hope you all don't think I'm a nasty hippie. I just really want to start to get into more of this stuff for you because it's something I've done for the fitness community for a long time. And I got away from the fitness industry because I really wasn't a fan of the vanity. I wasn't a fan of just helping people reduce their fat asses and get abs. What I really want to do is to help my brothers and my sisters in arms from the veteran community to live better, to think better, and to perform better, and to overcome a lot of these challenges that have been tossed at us over the last few years. Now, that being said, I want to hear from all of you. My email is info@warriorsoulapparel.com. You can hit me up on Facebook anytime. You can hit me up on Instagram anytime. My Instagram handle is at Warrior Soul Apparel, or on Twitter at Warrior Soul Gear. Anytime you want to ask me something, anytime you want to know about something, anytime, any way that I can help any of you out, please let me know. That's why I'm here. I really want to make this podcast beneficial for all of you, and I really want to help you to the utmost of my ability. And that's all I got for today. We'll be back at you with fitness superstar Ben Greenfield this coming week. And I will talk to you all soon. I love you all. Have a great day. Peace out.